Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. I'm internet funny man Blake Buck, and I'm joined right now by Justin Fick of Indie Development fame.
What's up, Blake Buck?
And I'm also joined by a very special guest in the studio of Blake Buck fame. It's my brother, Ben Buck.
How you doing?
Ben Buck,
I don't know. No.
It's been a long time since you've been on the show, Ben Buck.
I was trying to look through it. I don't know if it was like 22 or 21. It was ancient.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I want to say it was even like IMG podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Probably back to 18 or it might have been even before that.
Now
yeah.
Ben Buck is a hardcore listener though, so he's up on the.
I'm about 3 weeks behind. Oh, I got this.
Well, aren't we all? I'm 3 weeks behind on posting them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's gonna be.
There was one time where 3 weeks behind was like 1/10 of a show behind.
Yeah. So you guys enjoy it. Anyway, you know, I think since we haven't had William Miller, he's still working on Crunch. Ben Buck just may be able to replace William Miller. I mean, he's probably not going to say much. he's not too bright.
I got all this.
He has a real job, unlike me and Fig. I mean, it's indiscernible at this point. Anyway, we got to get to the news. This is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, July 27th, 2011.
I think it's July 20th, brother. I've got to dismiss your voodoo magic over there.
We do them a week in advance. Oh, I know, yeah, your world is rocked. Yeah. What?
Yeah, but what if it's episode 85? See, you gotta.
All right.
You gotta just plan for it.
Thank you, Dr. Comedy. This is getting off to a great start. Justin Fick, what news do you have for us?
All right. So, I think Comic-Con is starting up. So, there's been some Marvel vs. Capcom news. They have confirmed the existence of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Now, continue. I don't want to shit on this yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's what you would expect. It's the next Marvel vs. Capcom. It's got, you know, it's gonna have a shitload of new characters. It's gonna have, so it says here, a dozen new characters, 8 new stages, and new modes.
I mean, I don't.
So
we talked about this before, and I got another story to kind of build on this. But man, everybody is going for these yearly franchises. Like, all right, let's put some more codes in there. Now it's a new game. Put it out there. Done.
Well, I mean, the fighting games anyway do something a little different from the yearly releases. They do like quarterly releases of the same shit.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, that's what those people want, though. It's like, it's, you know, I want the 12 new characters and, you know, like, especially, you know, Street Fighter has tons of characters to reintroduce. So
who are some, you know, of these
Marvel,
new characters?
Marvel versus Capcom has a shitload of them.
Like, who we got in this one?
So with the original announcement, they've said they've released 4 new names. Let me see. They are Hawkeye, Ghost Rider, Firebrand, and Strider.
Now, just a fix to interrupt here for a minute and get a little bit on the technical side. Can the diehards that already bought this game get this as DLC, or they got to go out and spend the $60?
It looks like this is it's not $60. It looks like this is going to sell for $40.
Okay,
but no budget.
So it's a little more than like the Street Fighter 3 arcade, which you could do DLC. This one you can't.
Now, didn't I read somewhere, like Phoenix Wright is going to be in this, right?
Yeah, so the other half of this news is that right after the announcement, people started digging up art from more characters, and just like, you know, like GameFAQs, NeoGAF start, you know, like forum posts about, oh, this character's going to be in there. So they've, and then Capcom has basically confirmed them. So it's,
I always wonder, how do they find this stuff? How do they
They fucking dig this shit up. Like, so
they'll get, you know, oh, we found something in the Australian ratings board, like
a lot of what they're doing
ratings queue.
A lot of what they're doing now is getting it from fans. You know, they'll do the contest and say, send us your art and win, and you don't get anything, but you get claim to fame.
Well, that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, how do the journalists find this stuff? Like, they must have these bots that just run out and find, I don't know.
Yeah, just people that just dig up source code on websites and just look for, you know, all kinds of fucking hacks. Mm. So, but yeah, they found new artwork for Doctor Strange, Nova, Rocket Raccoon, Iron Fist, and for Capcom's characters, Phoenix Wright, Frank West, Resident Evil's Nemesis, and Virgil from Devil May Cry.
I guess this is cool, right? Justin Fick convinced this is cool.
If you're into this stuff, I mean, this is all. I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom is a really good game for, you know, like, because I don't know, like, I don't know about you guys, but we always had arguments about, you know, who would win in a fight, this Marvel character or this Marvel character. I mean, that's what this game is all
now,
about.
Did you play the Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the one that came out like a year ago? Didn't you tell us, give us a judgment or something on that?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's a lot more accessible in my mind than Street Fighter is, and you know, like Street Fighter is extremely demanding in terms of knowing what moves to use, knowing how to do them, knowing when to do them, you know, lining up pixel perfect distances right. to do this kind of stuff.
Oh, dude! And side note, you've seen that video, right, where that guy does that massive counter and like it's this video from like 1997 or something that has a babillion hits on YouTube. But
oh yeah, yeah. This is
Daigo, I think his name is.
Yeah. It's Daigo Umehara versus I think Justin Wong was the other guy.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's just like I didn't realize why that was as amazing as it was, and why, you know, because like if you watch this video, I think it's like, you know, just do a YouTube search for like Daigo and like the Beast Unleashed or something right. like that. But he does this block and this counter, which causes the audience to just lose their shit.
Well, he's
just like completely lose.
He's almost dead, right? And then he's like getting in this unblockable combo and about to lose the match. And then he comes back with this just unbelievable string of blocks, and then does it with this super finisher at the end. And everybody's going wild. And I saw a video the other day where they're re-releasing that game. I think it's called Street Fighter Alpha. No, not Alpha 3. Third Strike, I think it's called.
They're coming out with Street Fighter 3 Third Strike
right.
now.
Anyway, so in the I guess on XBLA, when it comes out, they're going to have a mode where you can try and recreate that same like string of combos. Like you'll be in the same place, same level, same characters, and you got to
the reason that was so phenomenal. I didn't, you know, it took some digging, and I had to start playing Street Fighter to realize it is when you block a special move, it does chip damage. Like it does like a little sliver of damage, and any one of those little blocked hits would have killed him.
Right.
And that would have been like the final of that tournament. But what happened was, you know, like you can do, I don't know if it's called a parry or something, but if you hit block the exact frame that a special move hits you, you don't take chip damage.
Right.
So he did that like 12 times with that Chun-Li's mega freaking, you know, super kick. And then
spinning
he
bird
came back
kick.
And did.
It has a name.
Yeah, fucking spinning bird kick Jones. I don't know. I don't play Chun-Li. But yeah, he did that to every single little hit in her, you know, ultra finishing move, and then did his own. And so it was just phenomenal to watch that. And just to realize what was going
anyway,
on.
Anyway, so that game's coming out. I guess that release is coming out this fall. But this one, is there a date on this Marvel vs. Capcom update?
I think November.
Okay.
Yeah, November launch.
You know, I don't even want to buy fighting games at this point, because I know next year, or, you know, a couple of weeks from now, they're going to have the new one.
That's a crowded month to be releasing in, too.
Well, not for fighting. I think fighting games are, well, maybe.
Games are games. Yeah. You know, you can only buy so many.
Yeah. Well, I want to try to get back into Street Fighter 4. I want to grab the new because I have Super Street
Double
Fighter
Ultra
4. So I want to get
Edition.
Yeah. I want to get the DLC to bump me up to Ultra Max Edition. One of the guys that I can say that I used to work with at Freeverse he wants to start going to some more Street Fighter 4 tournaments again.
Oh man!
So I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, I'll go with you.
Yeah, I wish I didn't suck. Wouldn't that be cool not to suck at fighting games? Like, oh, you would go and like own fools in arcade. That would be fun.
No. Like he goes to these and he's like all these people that were watching on YouTube videos, like he plays them and they just wipe the floor with them.
Oh,
it's like a field trip up Rape Mountain and back.
Justin, by the way, I don't know if you've seen the post from today,
dude. I saw that. That was fucking amazing.
I went in and animated the gauntlet box as it would have looked if it was called Rape, or what was it? I don't remember. I don't even remember. Oh, Bone Quest. Terror on Rape Mountain.
Oh, was that animated?
Oh, it wasn't animated, but I it was about an hour in Photoshop. Thank you very much.
Okay.
anyway,
is that so? That's Gauntlet, right?
Yeah, it's Gauntlet.
The original, yeah. I want to make this game, Bone Quest.
Anyway, you can find it in the show notes of last show. But speaking of these like yearly, almost quarterly releases, Dead Rising 2 : Off the Record, I believe is the name of this game. Dead Rising 2 : Off the Record is coming out on October 11th of this year. This Dead Rising 2 came out last year. They had those little tiny incremental, you know, those X-Blob mini releases. They've had two of those, and now we're getting another. It sounds like a spinoff game because it's not called Dead Rising 3.
So it's probably the same character.
Off the Record offers an alternate storyline to last year's horror action game of Dead Rising 2. Photojournalist Wes, the protagonist of the original game, stars in getting the scoop on the zombie outbreak in Las Vegas. In addition, a combo system, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it does feel a little...
If you like this stuff, like personally, I've been dying to go back to Dead Rising 2.
I guess, but they just came out with Dead Rising 2. This is probably going to... I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to guess, I'd say it's going to be about 70% the same assets. You're going to have the same, more or less the same levels with some extra stuff and sort of different modes.
What more could you ask for?
How about Dead Rising 3?
Not in a year.
Well, the thing is, like, this is, you know, this is also less of a risk to Capcom,
I suppose.
And it's kind of like those yearly 2D Castlevania releases that, you know, that, I mean, they were separate games, but they reused a ton of the same assets. Yeah. Starting from, like, away, you know, what's that now?
Haven't they gone away? Those Castlevania games?
Are you talking about the ones on Advance?
Like Game Boy Advance and DS. They haven't had one in a while. I think they were doing Castlevania HD, which still disappoints me.
Not into Castlevania's defense, they've not had anything since HD, and I don't think it had been a while since... I'm going to say, Castlevania, to me, is not near as bad as... I mean, this is the fourth Dead Rising 2 release in the past, you know, 20 months. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, I remember the first one came out, you got the game, and that was it. You know, they scuttled it.
Is this better?
Yeah.
I guess it's better. You work at, you know, you do accounting. Do the numbers add up? I'm just going to keep saying
tracking charts.
Some man there is telling them that it does, I guess. What? Somebody on the other end of the phone.
Well, everybody's
do
doing
this,
it.
Do this.
So I guess.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too. Like, all these games are basically the same anyway. I mean, look at God of War 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's pretty much
the
same
thing. Well, at least
there
was 2 years in between them, and they didn't literally reuse the same assets. Like, Dead Rising has literally reused the same assets in all four of these releases.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess this is what you got to do. Make the money. Print them checks. Dollar bills.
Yeah. Look, personally, if I was given a choice, and I don't know if Dead Rising, you know, the new Dead Rising will actually do anything like this, but I would rather see the same assets used with different game modes and different ways to play Dead Rising than the same gameplay in the sequel with all new assets.
Because nobody likes that game. Dead Rising, you're too hard. No one likes you.
I like Dead Rising. Well,
I've never met anybody who's I'm hardcore into Dead Rising, man. Yeah, that's my jam. I've never met anybody who said that.
Honestly, Dead Rising got a lot more fun to me when I just said, you know what? Fuck the survivors.
Yeah, but then you don't get to beat it.
Let
you're
them
just
die.
Like dicking around. That's to me, that's not really...
Well, there's only one real quest you have to do. There's only one storyline you have to do to get the good... Which also I didn't do. I also said, fuck the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, after a while, I was like, I don't want to keep saving the same dude over and over again. It's like, fuck this shit. Like,
and here
like
last
once I let him die... Then I was able to just run around the mall for, you know, 72 hours and do whatever the fuck I wanted. And then it became a lot more fun.
Just here we're asking for Dead Rising to be easier. Here we were last week saying how easy games were today. We're too lazy to even legitimately beat Dead Rising.
We're hypocritical sons of bitches. Well, the thing is, like, it's, I don't know, Dead Rising was, like, the survivors anyway, that wasn't difficult. That was just retarded.
Yeah.
That was bullshit is what that was. I like hard, I don't like bullshit.
Yeah.
And the survivor AI in the first Dead Rising was
bullshit. It was the equivalent of finding those scans in Metroid. It's like, this is not a value
add.
Hating on the scans.
So, Ben Buck, let's move on here. You got some news for us, right? I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, what? I guess I'll just take them and hope Justin doesn't have them. Does he have any?
We'll figure it out. What you got for us?
Shadows. No, that one story's lame. The Darkness 2 delayed to February 7th. 2K Games pushes digital extreme sci-fi FPS to next year on all platforms. Game will be playable at Comic-Con 2011 this week. So I think this is a good thing. Like we were talking about earlier, the fall schedule is starting to line up with the heavy hitters. Battlefield 3, Batman Arkham City, Modern Warfare 3.
Wait, now what?
All that good stuff.
I have to be honest. I was thinking about drinking beer when you started talking. So, what game is this?
The Darkness 2, your favorite game
Darkness,
ever.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't act dumb.
It's coming out this fall?
February 7th. Oh my God.
Uh-oh. I'm holding a Coors Light, so that can't be helping. Yeah. Basically, whenever my brother talks, my brain goes, it's time to drink. Okay.
I never played the first Darkness, actually.
Yeah,
did you guys play that?
About the first Darkness.
It was cool, but it's just one of those games that just like found its way into that stack of like games I played 10 minutes and then kind of forgot about.
Okay. That's your entire stack, is that right?
Yeah, that's all my stack. Oh, I got something for you about that coming up, just Fig. Don't you worry. We're getting to it.
All right.
But are there any screenshots or anything out? It seems weird that I hadn't heard.
Some dude getting eaten here in the picture.
Okay, so.
Does he? Okay.
We like dudes getting eaten.
Oh, this is in the first one. This is you got the guy with the snake arms. You go around, you can like eat dudes with the snake tentacles.
It says quad wielding, so I guess four guns at once must be better than two. And those
of course it is.
Those tentacle snake things are back. So
now they also did Chronicles of Riddick, right? The same studio.
No. Oh my God! So this is.
He just gave me a disapproving look. Oh, and everyone.
So we had Starbreeze, which is I guess now kind of been scuttled, they hadn't done anything.
Vin Diesel
years.
Is involved somewhere. Please tell me. God.
Yeah. Anyway, they're not doing this one. This is.
Did they not do the last one?
They did the first one.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, I'm a fucking asshole. Yeah. Then. Oh, but look at you.
They're not doing the sequel. It's this Digital Extremes, which is Canadian SIPs, perhaps best known for their third-person shooter Dark Sector. Oh, God, game was bad.
You know what? I actually kind of like Dark Sector.
Wait, was that the glaive? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Look, the game itself was shit, but the thing is, I love throwing that fucking thing in slow motion and taking people's heads off. That was fun. Like, cheap game, bad production value and everything, but taking people's heads off with that shit was kind of cool.
Was this the one?
Terrible,
Was this the one that had, like, the bullet
it was a Gears
time
knockoff.
That, like, you could... It was something about, like, oh, I'm going to bullet time and knock this thing over and jump on it in midair. I think that's another game I'm thinking of.
That's another game, yeah.
Yeah, that's another game.
Okay.
That sounds like it would actually take effort to make.
I'm definitely less excited now that the glaive team is involved. Oh, well.
I'm going to look up some... Does it look good? I mean, what do the screenshots say?
I mean, if you did everything in the first one and just do it again, it should be good, right? I mean, the first one was kind of inventive and unique.
It was at least a little non-linear. And some you could choose... it could be cool.
Yeah. I mean, it also kind of came out when there was kind of early in the Xbox 360 career, so there wasn't, there wasn't a lot of competition. You know, if you came out with any half decent game, I think you had a day in the spotlight. I mean, I think it was better than that, but you know.
Supposedly at the end you go to like World War II. I never saw that part, but that sounded cool. Like
Death Spank.
You get your no. You get your snake demons, and you're like fighting Nazis with your snake demons and stuff. That's what I heard.
All right.
All right, Just Vic, what other news you got for us?
Dude, speaking of going to World War II, I just watched a kung fu movie.
Uh-oh.
It's called Legend of the Fist. You guys heard of this? Legend of the Fist?
Are you still disguising this procrastination as research for your game?
Is that a Shaw Brothers, Shaw Studio thing? Or?
It's not Shaw Brothers, but and it's actually kind of recent. It's like 99. Well, I mean, I guess it's not that
From
recent
Hong
anymore,
Kong,
but...
Or?
But it starts in World War I, and the Chinese in World War I are using like kung fu wire tactics to kick the shit out of the Germans. It's fucking awesome.
You need that in your game, Justin Fick. Germans wire
agreed.
Tactics.
Yeah.
Put these on your bullet points of these are your back of the box.
Nazis, yes, no.
These will be in your press release. Nazis wire tactics.
Yeah, and then to answer your question, Blake Buck. Yes, I am using this procrastination as research.
Yep.
I am researching like a motherfucker.
Yeah, me too. I've been trying to get some jobs here recently.
You've been researching for years, right?
I've been working on tweaking my resume for a couple of days now. You know, just playing with fonts. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So, just Vic, what news you got for us?
All right, next up, I have, this is about the ex-Irrational people. So, one of the co-founders of Irrational Studios has split off. And he started up a new studio called Blue Manchu in Australia.
We just out of so, name ideas. Blue Manchu, done. It's on the
Blue
paper.
Man
I'm
Chew.
Changing it now.
Yeah. Irrational of Bioshock fame, right?
Of, yeah. of Ken Levine
Ken Levine,
fame.
That's
oh.
right.
Yeah. Oh, my heart of hearts.
So they they announced their company today, but they actually founded it in August of last year. So this place has a couple of ex-Irrational dudes working for it, and their first game is going to be it's called Card Hunter. It's an online card collecting game with some MMO God. Elements in
oh,
it.
Oh, you know, I did see a trailer for this. The only reason I saw the trailer, I think Danny B did the background music for the trailer.
Yeah, can I just pause
That's
here
a
for
point.
A second? Ben Buck is obsessed with not only Super Meat Boy, but Danny B. Like,
man makes
he's
good
got,
music.
He's got all the his CDs. He's
all
got
the
little
CDs,
plush
all the
toys. Basically, no chick would ever come to his house ever. It's shameful.
Well, look. I also have the Super Meat Boy soundtrack myself. I bought that shit off of Bandcamp.
Maybe I stand shit. Corrected. God, I'm lonely. So, I guess... Is this gonna? It sounds kind of like a casual game. It doesn't sound like a AAA sort of release, is it?
No, it looks like it's a browser-based game, and then it's gonna be ported to iOS in the future. So I think they're definitely going the. And when they say browser-based game, that's Facebook.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know, it's a Facebook game.
Now, like we just talked about how the mid-level developer is getting big. It's interesting to note that we've just had two stories. Both this one and the one about Halo last week or 2 weeks ago, how they're doing a little indie thing, how like big AAA developers are now making their own smaller studios just like for the hell of it because they can, right? You've got it doesn't cost so much money. You can take risks. Is that sort of a new model to go instead of getting bigger now to be big and then work your way down?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like, I mean, you know, you get these people that have worked in these big companies for a long time, and either they get burned out, they get tired, they want to, you know, have a little more direct input in what the game is, connect directly to the players, so they actually, you know, they can found their own studios, and, you know, it, you know, for instance, this one is news, like, because it's the Irrational pedigree.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, Bioshock Infinite and, you know, all, you know, that whole line of games, so it's... You know, it's like, it's a big deal when these guys form their own studios.
But, you know, even if you got, like, fired, you could still, like, imagine Ken Levine got fired. He could still do that, right? Because he would still get the buzz of, like, oh, it's this guy from...
How would he get fired? He fires himself?
No, I'm just saying, okay, let's say you worked at, you know, whatever game company, and you could, you know, because sometimes you're like, I remember when, oh, what's that game called? Oh, it was so bad. I wanted it to be good. London, Hellgate London.
Okay.
And remember how when they were marketing that game, everybody was like, oh, it's the ex-Diablo guys. They got together. Mm-hmm. It seems like that's sort of the same mentality of we're going to build off our old brand success, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about leveraging what you've done. I mean, like, this guy, in order to, you know, this Jonathan Che and his ex-Irrational buddies, you know, it's like they're going to use that clout to build up some buzz for the game. But, like, now... You know, when you go indie like this, it's, you know, your game really has to stand on its own.
All right, Jessica, so I've got marketing idea number 764 for your game, all right?
Do it.
Whenever you put out your game, you're just going to say it's made by the dudes who made Meat Boy.
Made from the dude who played Super Meat Boy one time.
You know, and if they complain, you know what, they're not the real guy. I'm the real guys.
Brought to you by one of the great minds that played StarCraft II.
Non-Korean players, even.
Yeah. Dude, I've been going back and watching some of those StarCraft II tournaments on fucking GOM TV. That's some intense shit.
I wish I knew anything about StarCraft II and its league, but
the thing is, like, you watch it with the English commentators, and they tell you everything that's going on. It's weird. Awesome.
Where do you get that? Is this online, or do you get this like on some crazy cable channel or something?
This is online. I go on GOM TV. I can actually send you a link to
GOM TV. Like
GOM TV.
GOM TV.
.com.
But I can actually send you guys a link. Yeah, .com. I can send you guys a link to, it's like a Google spreadsheet of just a shitload of like StarCraft games and notes about it and who plays it. And like this is what I'm watching while I'm waiting for the NFL to come back.
And also while you're turning away for a split second from your kung fu movie.
Yeah, really. No, like I have this stuff going while I code. Like I have like a second monitor set up, so I just drag the fucking GOM TV over there and just have that going while I code.
Me too. I got my code going right now. Oh, wait, no, that'd make me William Miller. Damn it!
You got the beer code going.
Oh, yeah, also, you have to be like 25 feet away from your microphone.
Oh, shit, the beer code's run out.
No, I've got another beer.
Oh, we got another one. All right.
Yeah. Just be in the next room and scream at the mic.
No, I got it. Ben Buck has a lot of booze because he doesn't drink, so it's just a paradise when I get here. All right, moving along. Ubisoft confirms Uplay Passport Online program. So, not to go into this too much because this is a lot of developers are doing this, but they're the next company to join the $10 paywall for basically pre-owned games.
Okay.
So they're going to charge you $10 to their core games. Will be charging for their online components for those who do not purchase the original game that comes with the code. The first game to do this is going to be Driver San Francisco, along with the new Assassin's Creed are going to be doing this as well. It seems smart. You know, we've talked about this before, but
I'm down with this.
I don't know, man. Just
buy new like you should have been doing all along, and you'll be covered, right? Who buys used? Like, oh man, shit, I'm gonna go get that game.
Well, I would just argue that that's most all of games.
Normally, normally they age 3 or 4 months, and the market, you know, reduces the new price anyway.
Yeah, new games get cheap too.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, you know, buy Portal 2 comes out $60, or wait 2 months. It's less than that, and it was $40.
These walls aren't really for people like, you know, us who are big into games and know all these things. These things are for like little Timmy who's like, I'm gonna get that new Driver the Wheelman game. Oh, look, it's $10 off. I'm gonna buy it here, and then. You know, that's who this is really affecting, because, I mean, we sort of know this by now.
So little Timmy doesn't know the price of it, but he knows how to get online.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He doesn't know about the paywall, but kids know how to get online. Are you kidding me? I'm 8. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I mean, this might also be a problem with just the way physical distribution works. I mean, you look at, look at a GameStop and look at the games, and it's pretty much, you know, it's not quite as bad as a movie theater, but there's stuff that gets on the shelf there on the very top, and then when it gets a little old, it's gone. Hmm. You know, people start, you know, it's like it disappears from the shelf, and the only place you can really find it, maybe you'll find it in a Best Buy, maybe you'll find it at Target, but you will find it in the used section of a GameStop.
And you know, I was going to get to this later because it's one of my tapes for this week, but I went trying to find Tropico 3, nowhere to be found.
You already had that
game. That game's only about a year and a half old. I can't find it used. I can't find it new. I can't find it anywhere.
You go to D2D.
I don't know what that is.
Direct to Drive. It's GameStops or whatever's little thing.
That's for PCs or something. I don't want that.
Yeah, that's what all computer games are on, Blake.
I don't
PCs.
Want, Tropico right. is on the Xbox, so I'm not going to play it on. Man, come on. I don't play PC games. What's wrong? Clearly, he doesn't listen to this show.
We were playing one earlier. Come on now.
No, because I'm again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Right, Ben Buck, give us one more news, and we'll wrap up here.
I don't know. News is kind of stale. Let's see what we got.
I got one more.
Or just big, take it.
All right. So speaking of used games, I actually bought Saints Row 2 used at GameStop because it's nowhere else. But that kind of segues into some Saints Row the Third news that I got this week. So there's some people lined up for some voice work. Daniel Day-Kim is going to be in it. He's from like Hawaii Five-0, Lost. Sasha Gray, who is a porn star turned Hollywood actress, and Hulk Hogan.
Really?
The Hulkster. We'll be in the game. Hulk Hogan is in the game.
I guess times are getting hard for Hulk Hogan.
Times are getting good for Hulk Hogan. He's got a show. His daughter's got a show. Like, everybody's
also
making money.
Ben Buck watches a lot of TV. I don't know what's happening on TV.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I'm so out of it. I don't know about Hulk's new reality show. Oh, what an idiot.
I just want to see Hulk just body slam everybody in this reality show.
Yeah, not enough shirt ripping.
It says here, Hulk Hogan will step into the role of Angel de la Muerte, a wrestler betrayed by his former tag team partner who teams with the Saints to take over Steelport.
El Diablo,
while former porn star turned Hollywood actor Sasha Grey will voice the character of Viola De Winter, one half of the deadly sisterly duo masterminds of the Syndicate's financial empire.
God, it's just like these things. They just click like print, and a computer just like mashes things together for story.
Yeah.
Syndicate.
But seriously, I am so fucking excited for Saints Row the Third.
Really?
I will play the shit out of this. Have you guys seen the that 7-minute like gameplay clip
I saw the
yet?
One where he's like flying a jet and stuff. Is that the one you're talking about?
There's one where he's like showing off all the weapons and flying a jet and then showing like the human cannon.
Yeah, they clearly like established themselves as like, we don't care about story. This is the silly sandbox.
It's everything that I ever wanted Grand Theft Auto to be. And I want to play the shit out of this.
Is it coming out this fall?
November 15th it comes out.
Right.
So I'm really, in fact, I am so excited for this that I went out and bought Saints Row 2 used to prep myself for it.
Now, Justin, how much was that Saints Row 2 used?
Like 10, 15 bucks.
I remember I bought that game Collector's Edition because I love the first one so much. I bought it Collector's Edition when it came out. I've lost all the shit that came. It came with like a thumb drive. Gone. I don't even know where it is. I could have just bought it used like you now. It wouldn't have even made a difference. Still hadn't played it.
Yeah, so I mean, and it's like, honestly, like, you know, use games of the devil and everything, but, you know, I wanted to go buy this game that came out some time ago.
Right.
And no one would fucking have it, except GameStop and their used games. So it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, they are the devil as far as, you know, who gets the profits, but, you know, there needs to be a better way for us to get these games. Plain and simple.
All right, Just Vic, I got one more news for us. GoldenEye 007. Now, I read this and I got real excited.
Stole my story. Look at you. Go ahead.
This is why I told you we should have covered this beforehand. I figured out. I'm on my feet kind of guy. GoldenEye 007 reloaded for PS3 and 360. So I was excited about this at first. I was thinking, oh, we're going to get GoldenEye. It's going to be on Xbox and PS3. Article says here it's going to be running at 60 frames a second. It's a remake. I thought, oh, damn, son, this is here. Now I realize, wait a minute, this is not a remake of the N64. This is a remake of the one that came out on the Wii last year.
Right.
Oh, God.
Which was only, you know, it was reminiscent of the first game just because it has the same sort of characters and levels. But the actual level design, the weapons, all that, it's not the same game. I mean, sure, the first level is the dam because the first level in the movie is in a dam. But it's, you know, it doesn't seem like, did that game do very well? The Wii?
The Wii one? I don't know.
I think it did pretty well, and it was also fairly highly rated critically. But that's got to count for something.
It seems like, why couldn't they just, I mean, I guess somebody owns the rights to, maybe Rare still, like, does somebody own, like, level design rights? Could they do that? I don't know how that exactly works.
It's just too much of a hodgepodge.
Yeah, you can have IP rights over assets and code.
And I guess so, if you were trying to remake,
that's very possible.
If you're trying to remake their game, you could potentially get sued, right? If it was too close to the original GoldenEye and they didn't have whatever secured.
Yeah.
It's got an 81.
Yeah, you might have the rights to James Bond, but not the right to that game.
Right, yeah. So it's got 81 on Metacritic, the Wii version. So
okay.
And they're also adding some features to it. It's going to have expanded online play from 8 players to 16.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some kind of an MI6 Ops challenge. Just for you, Black Buck.
No, that sounds exciting. 16-player shit, GoldenEye knockoff. Great. Can't wait.
60 frames. Gotta have it.
Anyway, I think that does it for news. Let's go on to releases.
Dee 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 dee. Oh, wait, we don't do that. Craig Reed does it. Thank you, Craig Reed.
We do it now.
Hey, let me.
Someone remix that.
Here, let me
mix that into our jingle.
Let me take this first one here. We got Catherine coming out on the Xbox 360. Catherine is an action adventure game from Atlas, is all it says here. Now the demo of this went up on XBLA, and the box art alone looks so strange. I said to myself,
yeah, I kind of can't stop looking at the box art. It's got anime boo boo girl with enormous tits,
and undressing, and is undressing. So I played this.
So I'm like, okay.
From what I gathered, and I could be wrong, but I played through the whole demo. It's like a puzzle game, kind of in the vein of Qbert, where you're standing on a bunch of blocks, but you can move the blocks, and you've got to like escape from the bottom. But also at the same time, it's this like very story based psychological thriller or something about this guy and his romance with these two women.
And his failed romance, right?
Yeah,
right?
I read a little bit about it. It looks
very bizarre.
I mean, it's a little strange. It looks, I mean, it's not an XBLA title. It's not a downloadable title. It's a full-on release. It looks like it's got, you know, downloadable gameplay. I mean, it just looks like you're...
Yeah, the gameplay is this weird block thing that I don't really even get, but...
Yeah, it looks like you're supposed to, like, move and push and pull boxes and climb up and try to climb up something that causes like the boxes to crumble,
right,
and goes off. So you have to like race
like
that
this
up to the top.
Hag woman who I guess represented your girlfriend in your dream because you're like, and she's got a fork and is trying to stab you with these like giant arms. It's very strange. There are sheep guys dressed up as sheep like throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Check out the demo. Wild.
Yeah. The cutscenes look kind of cool, actually.
I got my eye on it. It could be. It seems like it's either going to be interesting, fun, and quirky, or just complete ass.
Yeah, because I mean, Atlas. I think Atlas did Izuna, the Unemployed Ninja, which is actually a really good roguelike game.
Really,
but I think the only reason people paid attention to it is because, again, the main character and her friend were large-breasted anime boobo chicks who were undressing the whole time.
Well, I can't complain.
They obviously know their audience,
right? Just Vic, you want to take these next few releases?
All right. Next up, we got From Dust. And From Dust is a modern god game where nature is the star.
And just to fix, now, let me stop you there. So the title, like you just said, modern god game where nature is the star. I think if you're playing a god game, God is the star. Is that not correct?
Was
that comedy or something?
I don't know. It seems strange to me.
How long did you have that one locked and loaded there, Ben Buck?
I don't know. It took about 30 minutes.
Well, dude, I watched the trailer for this. Have you guys seen it?
It looks interesting. It kind of reminds me of...
Watch the trailer for this. Honestly, the trailer for this game gives me fucking chills.
Did you play Sacrifice back in the day?
No, it kind of reminds me of Populous almost.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, no, I never played Sacrifice, but this looks fucking hot.
And it is in their XBLA.
I don't know. Maybe they just did a really good trailer, but it's basically, you know, like there's these followers, and you kind of have to like shape the terrain and, you know, move water and move lava and this kind of stuff. So you're kind of like manipulating nature into sort of like achieving these goals and helping these people survive, I guess. But it looks fucking cool.
Speaking of their summer releases, I don't know, maybe this is one of your tapes. Have you played that Bastion game that's their first, or I guess it's the second?
No, I haven't grabbed it yet. I've kind of been out of the tapes loop this week.
A lot of people saying that's good. I hadn't played it yet, though.
Yeah, I definitely want to get that demo, because that sounds very cool. Oh, also, the other thing about From Dust is it's by Eric Chahi. I think that's how you pronounce the name, Eric Chahi, who was the designer behind Out of This World.
Oh, damn. Where
so
is he?
That also was like,
years.
Yeah, really.
Huh.
So that's another cool selling point for this one. It looks really cool.
Right. So this webpage is kind of crazy. So it says From Dust and then PC, but then it says arcade there.
Right,
so
right.
It's coming out on Xbox Arcade,
Xbox and PC. XBLA and PC. Because it
says
on the
list. Put it together there and said,
you are ruining the cinema. Don't let him see behind the curtain, Ben Buck.
Not good.
Yeah, don't let him see behind the curtain, as we had like three news stories where I literally read the article. I'm like, here, I'm just going to read this paragraph from this article on this website that shall not be named GameSpot.
Let's Ben Buck, you want to take our last few releases? Maybe just that last...
They're all bad. Let's just do the good ones. That was always my idea.
Okay, well, we got Call of Duty The Annihilation map pack coming out on PS3. The Sims coming out. Okay, never mind. You're right.
Oh. Yeah, well, there is one that kind of got my attention. It's for 3DS. It's Pac-Man and Galaga Dimensions.
Let me see this tape. Let's look at this.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm clicking on it now as well.
It's like 3D, first-person shooting.
Okay, it's still loading for me, so I haven't seen any screens yet.
It's like a space shooter. What?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that? Let's take something good and make it awful. Done.
Oh, God.
Just to make you play the...
Yeah, never mind. I don't care about this game. Or yeah, forget it.
Have you...
After seeing the screenshots, I'm like...
Let's see. I'm looking at the Pac-Man portion now. Oh, it's like a side-scroller with... Let's take Pac-Man and just rape him. Let's rape our own IP.
we'll take him up on Rape Mountain.
On a bone quest.
No, but seriously, like, X-Blood did such good renditions. Pac-Man Championship Edition. Fucking Galaga, Galaga Legions.
Just put those games on the 3DS and get...
Or just fucking port them.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus Christ, why do this?
Both the Galaga Legions and Pac-Man Championship would work perfectly on the 3DS with, you know, just give them a little depth to them. They'd work great.
Oh, wow, this Pac-Man is really bad. Are you looking at this? Yeah.
We've moved on. I don't know.
I've already closed that window. My dreams have been dashed.
Well, I'm playing William Miller, so I got to look at this.
You would just go, huh? From like a real, like far away. All right, let's move on to tapes.
Wait, what happened to Back to the Future? We shat on that one too?
I don't think that's actually coming out.
Well, is that one about done? Or like, how many episodes are going to be? Six.
The fifth episode is the final one.
Oh, is that
one.
It? Okay. Oh, well, that's what. Yep. Oh, well, if I would read.
Come out this week.
I got Blake's disease.
Miller's disease. Mm-mm. All right, let's go on to releases. All right. Oh, wait. Damn,
You're so dumb.
These Mike's Hard Lemonades are pitching.
We went back to the future like 15 minutes and went back to releases.
All right, let's do some tapes. All right, Jessefic, what have you got now? How many tapes you got for? Let's figure out what we got first.
I got sort of like a story with maybe two tapes.
Okay, I could do two tapes. Okay, let's do that. Why don't you kick us off, Jessefic?
All right, so this week, I mean, in general, this has been a sadly tapeless week for me. So I've been caught up in a lot of other bullshit.
Watching kung fu movies and all those. You gotta, you're busy.
So I haven't really played my consoles that much, but I have been going to a new place that opened up not too long ago in Jersey City. It's called Barcade.
Okay.
And Barcade is exactly what it sounds like. So it's a bar.
Uh-oh.
You know, you got all your little microbrews and shit. And then all around the walls and the outside of it, all like old school, like late 70s, early 80s arcade games. Fucking stand-up cabinets. Just go in there, get a beer, bring in a fucking roll of quarters, and you have a blast.
I am glad I am not within driving distance of this place.
Yeah, no, like, it's gonna turn into a really bad habit. Like, I've already separated, like, because I always bring my coins down to the Coin Star for some extra, beer money. Mm-hmm. Quarters are separated out now. They go in a whole different pile. It's called the Barcade pile.
Now, do they still... Now, one thing, usually when you see, like, retro games now, they're charging you a little more. Is it still 25 cents, or...?
Still quarters, nice. Every last one of them. Nice.
And what about the children, Justin Fick?
Fuck children.
Oh, good. All right.
They're not there. Okay. No, there are no kids in this place. This is all nice. This is all like old adults and hipsters and shit like that. So,
young professionals looking for some fun and broken, defeated gamers.
Yeah, hipsters and yuppies. That's the clientele here. This one has about God, I'm trying to get a good estimate, like 10, 20, 30, okay. maybe 40.
Wait, that's a pretty, 10, between 10 and 40, I have no idea.
No, yeah, I was sort of counting as I drove in my mind around the walls of Barkhave. There's about, 30 or 40 games. So it's a damn good selection. Like, I mean, they don't have a Robotron machine in this one, but they have
Zookeeper,
you know,
my new favorite retro classic
that I discovered.
So,
that's a good one.
But yeah, like two tapes that I actually never played back in the day when they came out. And one of them might shock you guys, but, are games that I got into at Barkhave and now I can't stop fucking playing them. Mm-hmm. The first one is Mr. Do. Have you guys heard of Mr. Do?
A little bit.
So, yeah, for those that don't really know about it, it's kind of, I think it's from a company that kind of did, like, knockoff games. Like, I played a couple of their space shooters, and they're just awful. Mm-hmm. And then I played Mr. Do, which is kind of like, take, like, Pac-Man and Dig Dug and Boulder Dash and make them all have, like, an orgy and, like, this fucking Bukkake Fest, and this is the baby that came out of it, Mr. Do.
You really hit home on the Bukkake references.
I like that word. I like Bukkake. It's fun to say, Bukkake.
Children, don't Google.
The thing is, if you're listening to this show, you already know what Bukkake is. You've seen the videos.
I was talking to Lucas, who used to edit our shows back in the day, and he said he met Wazoo in real life. You remember old Wazoo from way back in the day?
Yeah, I remember Wazoo.
He said he's like, because I think it's at some point for a battle, we commanded him to hit puberty. Right, I think that happened. That's what he said. Anyway, so he said it worked because he's like huge and has a deep voice now, and is because he's 18 now. Wazoo,
dude, we should get Wazoo to call back into the show. Does he still listen to us?
No, he's probably like,
are we still worthy of Wazoo?
He's out like banging chicks and doing blow, and it's a dark world. Wazoo's like,
dude, Wazoo, if you are listening to this show, if you are still out there, call our listener line. We want to hear your fucking deep, manly, ball-dropping voice.
845 Battle 9. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about? How did we get off on Wazoo's
balls? We're talking
about
Bukkake. So Mr. Do is what we're talking about.
Bring it back.
So it's actually a really cool game. So it's like this mashup of Pac-Man, Dig Dug, and Boulder Dash. So you kind of have to dig, and you have to collect all these cherries and shit that are buried in the dirt. And, you know, you can beat the level by collecting all those. Mm-hmm. Or there's also this monster generator in the middle of the level that spits out these fucking lizard dudes that come after you. And you can, you know, there's also apples hidden in the dirt, and you can dig them out like Boulder Dash and push them onto dudes and squash dudes. And you can also beat the level by killing all the monsters. So it's kind of cool. There's like two ways to go about it. And there's actually, you know, you get like a little, there's also a little super ball you can throw, and it bounces down the tunnels that you dig. And it's like, it just gets very fucking cool. Like, there's a lot of different things that happen. There's a lot of different ways to, a lot of different strategies you can use. Like, I, you know, like, someone showed it to me, and he's like, yeah, Mr. Do is awesome. And I looked at it, and I was like,
who's this guy? Yeah, man. We're hanging out.
Well,
in
this is,
Mr. Do is awesome.
Dude, this is Mr. Matt, another ex-free, he's not ex-freeverse, I'm ex-freeverse, but old co-worker, okay. Mr. Matt, and
Mr. Do,
he's like, yeah, you know, Mr. Do is awesome, you should totally play it. And I looked at it, I was like, you know, because the main, you know, Mr. Do is like this little jester clown dude, and there's like little cute guys and fruits, and I'm like, this looks like Pac-Man for gay people.
It's sort of the same thing with Zookeeper. Like, me and Ben Buck are currently real into Zookeeper that we saw at California Extreme, because just like mm-hmm. you're saying, like, there's a bunch of different ways to play it, and it's super intense. That's what I like about it. I mean, does this game kind of have, like, the same, like, is it high intensity or not so much?
It gets there, because, I mean, like, as you're chasing around the cherries, like, every single monster is faster than you, so you really have to be moving your ass the whole time. But, like, yeah, like, at first I kind of poo-pooed it, and then I played it a couple times and realized that I went to bed, like, thinking of Mr. Do strategies.
Nice.
And first of all, it's like, I have no life whatsoever. And the second of all, it's like, that's the fucking sign of a cool game. I go to bed that night thinking of ways to be better at it.
That's cool.
So I, you know, next time I go there, I'm going to Mr. Do it up and start fucking pushing some apples.
You know, that happened with me with Robotron. I've kind of figured out some Robotron secrets. Your reign of terror on the Robotron scores may be up, Justin Fick. I figured.
There's actually dudes on my friends list that put me to shame.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's on X-Blah, isn't it? I forgot about that. Oh, man, I got to go buy that now. Son of a bitch, I'm broke.
It's $5, dude. Get that shit.
Damn. Well, I've been playing on my old
Justin, what's the spelling on that? Because Mr. Dew's bringing up a lot of Mountain Dew hits.
It's D-O.
D-O.
Oh. Come on. And we're related, honestly. Can't even spell Dew. All right, I got a tape for you here real quick. First, you already mentioned this is Justin Fick, so I won't go into it too much. Because there's not much to say. Galaga Legions DX. Have you played the new one that just came out, Justin Fick?
Oh, no, I haven't, actually.
DX came out. I got to say, I liked... some people were critical of the first one because it was a little strange. You had to maneuver your pods around that shot at things.
Yeah, that was a little strange to me. I never really got into it.
This new one, though, is developed by the same guys who did the Pac-Man Championship and the Championship DX Pac-Man. This game is phenomenal. You can essentially you're a regular Galaga guy, but you can shoot in any direction now, and you can hit a button to switch into imagine sort of a spread where your two ships that fly to the side of you, when you start moving the aim stick in a circle, they start making one's going clockwise and one's going counterclockwise, so they sort of form a circle around you.
Okay,
and it's just maximum intensity, old school arcade. You've got these monstrous waves coming in that are so fast, and it's got these guys have figured out, these Pac-Man guys have figured out the music and visuals just need to be like intense techno, everything blinking, and you want to die.
Yeah, it's like complete sensory overload is like the only way to keep our attention anymore.
Right. So this game,
because we're so fucking racked by ADD, fucking ADD and just like overstimulation through the ages. The only way to get us hooked is just to fucking flash epileptic seizure inducing lights and music.
If you're going for the arcade experience, I mean that's what original arcades were, and I think that this is sort of the logical progression. If you're going for the over the top shooter, Galaga Legion DX is it. If this sounds even remotely interesting to you, play the demo. You'll know in 60 seconds if you're down for it. You'll either be like,
yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm grabbing that shit after this podcast, actually.
Oh, it's great. You're not going to beat my score, Justin Fick. I played for about, ever since I went to California Extreme, I've been playing these games, like old arcade games, because I used to play them for maybe 10 minutes at a time. I spent a good 2 hours with Galaga Legions.
Yeah, dude.
Just, it feels good to beat that.
Well, Barcade's been doing that to me, too. Like really getting back into these old arcade games where, it's sort of the way they work is you gave them a quarter. Mm-hmm. They ain't shit. The only way to make money off of people is to make a game that made them want to come back and play it again.
That's true. And I hate to keep referencing this, but when we were at California Extreme, they were showing some videos while waiting for a presentation to start, and one of them was an Atari marketing video from the early 70s, and they said Atari has turned the video game industry, the coin-operated video game industry, into an $8 billion a year industry. And I'm sitting there thinking, good God, in 1972 or whatever that video was produced in? I mean, what is it? I mean, what is it you think the whole game industry produces now? I'm sure it's way more, but it couldn't be more than, maybe $50 billion at max. Bimbuck, he's over there like, I'm totally out of my mind. Like, I don't know the number. Well, okay, if Call of Duty Black Ops is a big seller, it sells 8 million copies, right? So 8 million times $50 minus, it's not going to be leaps. It's not going to be in the trillions of dollars is my point.
No, I mean, a fucking $60 game, you sell 8 million copies of it, that's half a billion.
Right, and in the 70s, the coin-operated video game industry to be worth $8 billion earned 25 cents at a time. And it's almost like, have we lost touch with something, maybe?
You know what? Playing these games, I think we have. I mean, it's kind of shifted, especially with the shift, from, a quarter at a time, and the only way to get people hooked is just to, to give you like a really intense experience that you want to go back and do again to, now it's you pay $60 and you get a whole game. Like the whole point of games now is to get you to buy it.
Maybe the modern day equivalent would be like iPhone games, because they're the same, like very low entry and are designed, at least the high sellers are designed to grab you immediately and give you that instant pleasure. Like look at Angry Birds or Cut the Rope. They're all sort of like instant gratification the same sort of way.
Yeah, yeah, they do kind of go back to that in a lot of ways, and I think that's why a lot of those games become popular with a lot of people, is because they don't really build on mechanics the way that AAA games do.
Right.
But even iPhone games, like, it's all, you know, it's all totally based on getting you to make that first purchase. You know, it's that's because, like, you really did, like think about arcade games. Like, we weren't really around, but, you know, just think of how much hype was, you know, like, was out there for, you know, arcade games like Robotron, right, and Defender and stuff like that. There really wasn't.
And I was thinking, I was reading Robotron's Wikipedia page because I was trying to figure out how to just think, have you played Robotron on MAME?
Not on MAME yet, no.
Well, I think it's one of these old games you have to reset every time you start it, which I was trying to figure out. But anyway, I was reading the Wikipedia page, and Eugene Jarvis, the designer, he got in a car accident, and that's why he was thinking, man, I really don't like pressing buttons now that my hand's messed up. Why don't we have two sticks? And I was thinking, man, that's like the staple of at least these arcade shooters now, is that Robotron style. And just think, had he not had that car accident, I mean, eight-way shooters still probably would have been around, but not at the same level they are today.
Like Robotron really set the bar for all of those. And in a way, you know, like the dual stick control is kind of the way first person shooters work now too.
I mean, I'm sure it still would have evolved at some point, but I don't know.
Yeah.
How we control video games, if that car crash had not happened, how we control video games could be significantly different today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and that's the other cool thing about these old games. Like, you look at, for instance, I was just walking by all these machines, and each one of them, you have to, you know, like, the controls are designed as well as the game.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, if you play Tapper in the arcades, like, there's a little joystick for you to move and stuff, but there is a control to pour and serve beer, which is a beer tap.
Right. It seems like,
you know, it's a beer tap on the
controls,
machine.
Controls, it didn't seem like they fit the game to conform to the controls. It was more about, like, what natural, I don't know, maybe this is us just reminiscing but, you know, blowing smoke up our asses.
A little bit, but no, there is something there. Right. Like, I've always said that the controls are the most important part of the game. I mean, it's what connects a game to the person playing.
Right, yeah, Tapper is way more fun in the arcade, me pulling on that handle like I'm really doing something, than me on my arcade cabinet holding down on my little stick, or holding A on the Xbox.
And then, you know, that kind of segues into, you know, the next tape I want to get into, and this is one that I can't believe I didn't play when it was out there, but I really didn't see it that much. But this is the Star Wars cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one. It's all vector graphics. It's the one that where you're.
I remember playing this.
You have to like, you know, you get into like a TIE fighter battle, and you have to go into the, you know, you do the trench run,
right?
And you have to blow up a Death Star over and over again.
You sit in a little seat.
No. You're thinking, actually, I think you're thinking of the one we played at California Extreme was like the '70s one. This is like from the '90s, I think, right, Justin Fick?
This is from '83.
Okay, then maybe we are thinking the same one. This is like the one that has the vector graphics. Okay,
yep.
Okay.
And you actually sit down in it.
Right. Okay.
So, but it's really cool. Like, you sit down in this thing, and, you know, like, they designed the, you know, the steering wheel to have a left, right, and an up, down.
Mm-hmm. And you can pull it in and out, right?
Not that I know of.
No, you can't.
Like,
I don't remember.
But this one, like, you know, it sort of had like one of those steering wheels that had like two handlebars on the side, and the handlebars had triggers, and you could also tilt them to aim up and down, and, you know, like, the steering also steered your ship, and it was just like, I played this game and I was fucking instantly hooked on the controls. Like, it just felt so good. Like, nothing has come close to being able to just dodge and weave through shit the way I was in this game.
And it's sort of also, I don't know, maybe the cabinet I played was kind of souped up, but like, its other mechanic is loud subwoofer rumble that makes you feel like you're in.
Yeah, that too.
And I was thinking, man, like, Hydro Thunder sort of got the same thing, but that was 20 years later, right? I mean, that's. There's something to be said about getting in this box and everything's roaring and it feels like you're, you know, doing something. Maybe I don't feel like I'm in the Death Star, but you can imagine it a little better.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between those old arcade games and, you know, like a new console game is those old arcade games, I would imagine, are designed, you know, around a person.
You know, you get you
okay.
Get,
so a person is standing in front of the machine. What are you going to do for them? Like, here's
we're gonna design something in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like how are they gonna move the machine? Like how, you know, how's it displayed? Like what's the monitor gonna look like? What's the machine gonna look like? I mean, you look at the art on the sides of these machines, and the fucking art is amazing on these. It's like, you know, really like just designing the entire experience of walking up to this machine, playing it. You know, the audio feedback, visual feedback, fucking tactile feedback in some cases. And it's just like, it's totally around that. Whereas if you get like a AAA console, you know, like a console game now, it's, you know, it's like, it's just like max out your graphics, max out your sound. And there's not much to it. Like there's the controller and you're using the screen that's given to you. You're using the speakers that are given to you that you don't even design. It's just what sound system does the player himself have in the home?
You know, like, I don't want, just to take this to the next logical step, things like the PlayStation Move, the Wii, and the Kinect, all these things are even further removing us from, like, the tactile sort of feedback controls that we have. I mean, you play the Kinect, it's like I'm not even, you know what I mean? You're getting no feedback. You're wiggling around in the air. I feel like,
yeah, I think, I don't know, I think stuff like the Move and the Kinect can do that, but I think we're still designing games, I mean, not we, but, you know, yeah, we are still designing games around that console game mentality, and not, you know, how do you envelop this person in the experience, because you can, you know, I know people could do some really amazing, cool fucking shit with those, and they're not.
Yeah, like another example I was thinking of is like Crystal Castles. I never liked Crystal Castles. I never liked that game. It's hard as shit to play. Never got into it. Never understood it.
And then how about that Xbox version?
The Xbox terrible. Version is hard as crap. And then I realized, oh, you play this game with the trackball. And then it makes sense with the trackball. Because you can make these minute moves. Or I think I was talking about this last time about how I got my highest score ever on Millipede on the trackball. Because that's so intuitive and easy to use that trying to map it to anything else is ridiculous. Anyway, we've gotten way off on tangents now.
That was our discussion.
Yeah. Let's see. I got one more tape. Justin Fick, you got any more you want to mention here?
Not really. I mean, I keep on talking about some of the arcade games that I played in there. But
here, I got one that's kind of an arcade game. Maybe we can use this to wrap up. Because you talked about this last week, Justin Fick. Went out and got it today just so I could have it for you guys. We're talking about Jamestown on the PC. On the Steam.
Oh, man.
Dude, I don't even have anything to say. This game is amazing. This is exactly...
Is that not
it's
hotness?
It's going to be a repeat of what we said last week. This game looks amazing. It's set on, like, Mars, but in the past, but in the future. The story doesn't make any sense, but the art is sort of like... It's a vertical scrolling bullet hell shooter, or shoot-em-up, or shmup, as some people say. Was at this conference.
The professors say that.
Yeah, there was this professor who gave this presentation on shoot 'em ups. It was very, very lame. It wasn't lame, but it's like
Hayden.
Oh, it's like oh, in on this screen there are areas of safety and areas of not safety, and that's part of the that's every game. What? But man, Jamestown, it's $10. It's on Steam, only on PC though, but. If you're into, you know, bullet hells where you got the tiny hitbox, you got to navigate, the art is beautiful. It looks like, kind of reminds me of Metal Slug. You know how Metal Slug had that super detailed art? It's kind of cartoony style, but there's so much, like, clearly so much work went into it. It looks great. $10. And you can play it with up to 4 people on one thing, which as soon as I get my old... It said my video card was too old in my main box to even play it, which... I want to dock them for, but that machine's
Pixel
probably
2.0.
Machine's probably 10 years old, so it's probably getting long in the tooth. But yeah, Jamestown. If you're even remotely into old arcade shooters, check it out.
All right, son, you ready for my tapes?
Oh, you got tape? You got multiple tapes? I don't know if we got time
multiple
for multiple
tapes. All right, we got time for you, but not time for me. I see.
I didn't even know you were going to do tapes.
All right,
I would have been calling on you. Okay, yeah. Who we got then, son?
Well, we went out to California. We went to California Extreme out in Santa Clara, California, which is pretty nice. And out there, the electronic stores don't suck ass.
Okay.
Yes, that's something to think about.
Right. So Mississippi, not known for its electronic stores.
You know, I don't even know if it's anyway. They've got Fry's out there, which for my money is where you go for electronics.
Now, what is Fry's for those who don't know?
Think Best Buy. Times 6 and the prices are current.
Okay, technically, just to get, just to be kind of a dick here, this is a store, not a tape, but all right, okay.
But in this, I've always thought of fries as Walmart for nerds.
Kind of, yes.
They fucking got
it's,
everything.
And it's huge. It's huge, but the prices are current. Like, if you go to Best Buy, you know, they'll put $60 and it'll always be $60. Fries updates it a little bit more.
How do you have my beer? What happened?
You didn't drink it.
Give it back.
I'm not taking it now.
He's picking up your slack, Blake Buck.
Plug your mic. See how you like that?
Anyway, so out at this amazing place called Fry's, we picked up Alone in the Dark, published by Atari. Ooh.
You know how bad that game sucks, right?
It was $10, son. If it sucks, we're okay.
Now this is the updated PlayStation.
Is this the new
version?
One or is this the old one or is this the real old one?
So the game came out in 2008.
This is the one that came out and had all these bugs and was just awful.
Okay, this is fire physics, so, Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, yes. It was released in 2008 and it came on the Xbox to horrible reviews. And they retooled it a little bit and it came out on the PS3 later that fall, and I've been playing through. It's pretty interesting. It's a little bit clunky, I'm not going to lie. But I think they got most of the clunk out in the PS3 version.
Clunk, is that a technical term?
Yes, the clunk. Yeah. And I'm not sure if it ever got patched on Xbox. I was unable to verify that. But it's pretty neat.
I was unable to verify that. What, are you a journalist now?
That's correct.
We don't verify things in this show.
You've heard this show, right?
But you play Edward Carnby, and the story's kind of wacky, but you go through and you're burning up these evil roots, and there's darkness, and it's scary, and you're shooting guys. It's pretty good.
It's finally fixed and not shit on the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's better on the PlayStation. Like, I know one of the big things is I think in the Xbox, you originally had to hold a button and then move to run or something like that, and they just have it on the analog stick for the PS3. So, and then I think we were talking about this earlier. I think if you open your inventory, it pauses.
Yeah, that was a big problem the first time, because you open your inventory, it didn't pause.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
going to
mix up
attacked.
I'm going to mix up some items to make flames.
No, you're not.
Oh, I'm dead. Oh, yeah, great. Good design choice there.
So, it's super cheap and the PS3 version's a little bit better, and it's different. There's not too many games like it.
It's almost a poor man's Resident Evil, you could say. It's like Resident Evil 4 except not as good.
Kind of, but it's different. It doesn't have the same feeling. So, it's interesting.
Here, real quick, because we're already an hour 6 into this. You got any more tapes for us, son?
What about the, are we doing that thing, the old tapes or whatever? Is that section coming on?
Actually, let me mention that real quick. So, you know, Justific, we had our homework, remember?
Yeah.
Somebody didn't do it.
You know what? Well, I've been so lazy putting these shows up because I've been out of town that we hadn't really gotten a lot of feedback about it. I played the game for about maybe 20 minutes today, and it was all cutscenes. I was very disappointed, Justific. So I don't know.
Which chapter did you do?
I did the ninja, and I got a little ways into it.
Okay.
There was a lot of cutscenes, a lot of talking at the beginning of that game.
And Blake is done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Squaresoft. I mean, it's going to be an RPG, so you're going to see that.
Should we leave it up for another week, live alive, or should we just forever retire?
Yeah. Well, we'll just do like whenever you play it, then you know we can talk about it on tape.
I'm just going to be doing this. Is just, the same thing's going to happen next week, Justin Fick. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So like, yeah, like whenever you get to it, then we talk about it.
All right.
So, but yeah, like for what it's worth, once the chapter gets going, the ninja one has a little bit more combat than most.
Okay. Anyway, Ben Buck, you got one like retro tape for us? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I hadn't really played it, but I want to get into it.
Well, that's kind of defeats the point of tapes, but okay,
whatever.
Sure.
Oh, really? Hadn't done my homework over there? All right. You're playing fast and hard by the rules.
Okay. Hey, you're the one drinking now. Okay. Keep acting like this. I'm gonna take it back.
So you got Earthbound, right, on the Super NES?
Yeah.
Go out there and play that. Get a ROM, whatever, or don't, or buy the tape.
I kind of want to play through that again. Well, actually,
and
I've been thinking about Earthbound.
There was a follow up to that called Mother 3, released on the GBA in Japan. But apparently somebody's done an English translation, so...
I would imagine.
No shit.
Yeah, so you can sort of...
Okay, I want this.
It's like the way I read it, you had to have the Japanese ROM, and then you, like, applied this patch on top of it, and it turned it into English. So I hadn't done that, but that sounds pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've done that with a couple of Super Nintendo games. I mean, that's... I think that's how I got the translation to Live Alive. Like, I got the Japanese one and an English patch.
When I put up the link on the 87 is just to... I found a ROM that's already got it on it. So okay. Just to make it easy for you guys, you know, you're welcome. I'm going to jail forever. You're welcome, Internet.
You've got to download the show twice to get the notes. If you use iTunes.
Oh, my God.
Which nobody does.
What is, like, I'm getting this from my own brother, nitpicking bullshit about me posting shows. I'm sorry if you use iTunes and I haven't posted the show notes yet, that you can't be refreshed the show notes. That's a flaw in iTunes design.
Wait, I've got show notes. Is it working now? Have you fixed it?
Well, if you got the show, sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I'll post the show without show notes just so you guys can get it, and then I'll add the show notes later. But if you're subscribed in iTunes, it will not re-download the show notes. You can't get that show again. I don't know. Maybe this new iTunes that came out or whatever has changed that, but I doubt it.
I'll check into that.
Oh, good. Put some journalism on
for us. That.
We're going to verify shit this week.
Bimbug, a professional verifier.
I'm on that.
Yep.
All right, well, let's go on to feedback. I think we got a little bit of feedback this week.
Do we really?
Do not.
It's like, do we really get feedback on this show?
Do not. Look behind this curtain, because you will be very sad by what you see. I regret ever bringing you on. You're letting all the secrets out.
I thought you were making it up as you went along.
Not us. I don't think we read this one last week.
We ever get feedback from Craig Reed? I guess we don't, do we? He just edits the show.
Craig Reed, tell us something right now while we're... Just edit yourself.
Talk to us.
Tell us your dark fantasies.
Tell us a story, Craig Reed.
Uh-oh. I can't even imagine what's going to happen now. Listen to the show. Porn music starts playing. Let's see. We did the last show on 14th, so feedback since the 14th. Okay, we got two. We got two feedbacks. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We don't get feedback. We got two, fucker.
Well, you can't read them, so you better forward them over here. What's it going to do?
I'm never doing this show again. Ben Buck, okay, it's time for feedback. Ben Buck, our first one's from Norseman Sebastian. There you go. Read it for us.
Do I read the link too? Well, just for Macintosh.org. Well,
oh my God! Just figure it out. Oh, should I HTTP? No, you would read. Okay, you know what? No, revoked. Revoked. Never on the show again. Norseman Sebastian says, just found that this dice exists.
You can't even read, son.
He's got a link. I found an alternative to throwing shit on mirrors and punching massive ego boost, punching bag tits. I don't even... Maybe I can't read or this person can't write. Probably both. Old news or not, I don't know how to listen to ear sore.
It says I don't have to listen.
Okay, he's got a link here. Oh, this is Duke It Out in DC. Now, I remember this was like an add-on to Duke Nukem 3D that had a bunch of...
I want Macintosh Gardens.
Do you remember ever playing this, Justin Fick? Duke It Out in DC? They also had like...
Oh my God, that...
I don't think so, no.
OS9.
They also had like...
Oh my God, OS 8.
They had Duke Atomic Edition. There were a bunch of these kind of spinoffs after Duke came out.
Good luck playing
that. But yeah, he says maybe if you don't want Duke Nukem Forever, check out this old add-on.
We just described that you can't play it unless you have an ancient Mac.
There's emulators. You can get Mac emulators.
Had you listened to old shows, man, that was a long time ago we talked about that. There's a Duke Nukem emulator that runs in OS X that you just like put the Duke, like they even have all this because I own all of these because I got them on eBay for like, you know, nothing at the time. All right, Justific, here, take our last email before this show just
all right, send that shit to me.
Flames. There we go. This is from...
We've already burst into them.
You've got to save us. Ooh, this is from Hayoshiro.
All right. So, Hayoshiro. Yo, BDPE crew. Listening to number 86 at the part you discuss Oblivion.
Uh-oh.
Just wanted to cue you all in on a few things regarding that game. The biggest thing is difficulty. The game starts at a fairly hard difficulty, and the creatures leveling with you just make it worse. But you can change that all in bold. Ooh.
Well,
there's difficulty slider. The thing is, I don't like difficulty slider.
Nobody wants to turn the game down. You feel like a pussy if you turn the game down.
Yeah. But he says there's a difficulty slider that adjusts how the world levels with you. Ooh.
Hmm.
50% should be even. Less than that keeps stuff weaker. More than that makes things stronger.
But I
liked playing harder than normal because it forced you to keep your wits about you. A friend of mine cranked that to the easiest because he just wanted to explore and quest without any real danger.
Well, I think what we were getting at is that it would be nice, like, you, okay, there's a little, you know, a little a little early level enemy. Let's say a bear, right? It would be nice that after a while you can kill bears in like one hit, but bears also level up with you.
Yeah,
and so it kind of denies you the reward of.
Yeah. And also the other thing, too, like, it's really impossible not to do stuff in that game without leveling up something. So like, you can run and you level up.
Level two.
I think, like. I think you like level up acrobatics or something by running and jumping, and you, like, everything you do gets you some points towards something that you level up in. And when you level up, you really have to, you know, like, I read a guide to, you know, creating like an optimal character, and it's really, it's like work that you have to do. It's like you have to stand there and, like, if you want
to,
you know.
I remember hitting the Y button over and over and over to get that extra jump. I remember my little button on the, because it's not like I haven't played Oblivion. I play the crap out of Oblivion.
You know, y'all must have played the game wrong or something. I started the game. I didn't have any trouble playing it. Now, there were a few enemies like the bears and the cats and stuff that would come out. They'd be pretty high level.
Yeah, but
you could wander into, like, one of those dungeons or Oblivion gates. You know, you just kill one dude, and then you sleep, and you got 100% health. So it really wasn't that hard.
I'm not saying
we're comparing Demon Souls or something like that.
I'm not trying to say it was too hard. What I'm trying to say is it lacked a sense of accomplishment because you could never just, like, bitch slap something and it dies instantly. That never.
You got that way.
Yeah, when I was playing it, it felt like I was actually getting worse because the stuff I was fighting was leveling up at a certain rate, and I was probably leveling up suboptimally. I was probably, you know, I was running around and just running and jumping and getting acrobatics.
After 3 hours,
you know,
I don't want a bear attack to be a big deal anymore. That should we've moved on to Oblivion soldiers and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you want to take the rest of this?
He continues. As for quests, side quests, and random stuff is pretty repetitious in general with some exceptions. But if you want to have the most fun, do the guild quest line, specifically the Dark Brotherhood. Okay. They do a much better job of giving you more different things to do, and it's the best part of the game. So if any of you still have that sitting around, which I do, try adjusting that difficulty and playing through the guild stuff rather than wandering around aimlessly talking to peasants that need rat tails.
You know, I agree that the Dark Brotherhood is better, but if you break it down, the Dark Brotherhood is just, instead of go down a cave and get a rat tail, it's go into this dude's house, and the dude is the rat tail, right? You kill the dude. I mean, all the quests are essentially like long tubes you go down. I mean, I guess you could say that about anything, but I don't know. There was not a... I guess there's more in the Dark Brotherhood, but it's still like, go down
this hallway. Conceptually, that seems more fun, though. Like, break into this house and murk this dude.
Right. That's true.
But, yeah, you know what, like, because I've been meaning to go back to, like, every now and then I think about Oblivion, and I was like, you know what, like, I really kind of threw that game off to the side, but it's like, I don't know, it's like that, like, just thinking about the mechanics of it just turned me off every time.
The thing to having success at that game, Justific, is there's about 4 or 5 things that you need to know that make it successful for you. And once you figure out.
Again, this is just journalism, is just slapping me in the face. It's like a dummy's guide we're listening to.
Once you figure those 4 or 5 things out, like the hammers, like initially you buy them and they break and they're shit. And then eventually you level up that skill to 100 and they don't ever break.
Did you just curse on this show?
Yeah, all the time, son. Bringing it here.
That's fucking unacceptable.
And then, what was that other one? That shard thing you could get? There was some way to fill it up and always have a charge in there. You need to know that.
I never even made it that far.
Yeah, I mean, it was some item you pick up, and there's like garbage ones laying around, but there was some way to get it like a perfect one or something. So there, it was like these 4 things you knew, and then you kind of had it. Then you kind of had it figured out.
Hmm.
But it was not
obvious. Ran out and just did my own thing and just ran around and fucking...
Kind of like Minecraft.
Went up the trees up close.
Have any fun.
Yeah, it kind of is. Like, I kind of want to go back and do like... the optimal character so I can actually play the game and have fun with it. And yeah, I might just turn the fucking difficulty down like a sissy and just play it that way. Cause like,
anyway, I guess that's it for
I gimped so fast.
I guess that's it for feedback. And I guess that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever.
We're not near done.
What have we got left?
We got tons of stuff.
Oh wait, are you not, you have more tapes or something?
What have I got?
We moved on to feedback. We're done.
We're not done.
We're an hour and 18 minutes into this show.
Well, it's cause you were blabbing about nothing.
That's what this show's about every week.
I can't wait to have Ben on again.
What we gonna talk about?
This is just going great.
What did we already cover? We're already covered.
Everything. I can't imagine anything to talk about.
Did we talk about the hardware chip emulator for the LaserDisc?
Oh my God, I can't wait to hear.
We did.
Wait, what?
Have you covered that? No. I thought that was something worth talking about.
Well, this is where at the end.
I haven't seen a LaserDisc in like 20 years.
You should have like brought this up earlier. We're already like at feedback.
I'm not going to interrupt people like you do. I got more class than that. Come on now.
Have you heard this show? Okay,
we're known for our class.
Let's have a Ben Buck. Our last section. All right, you get like 3 minutes.
Ben Buck's rant.
Ben Buck's blabbing. What do we got?
Well, Ben Buck's. By the way.
Oh my God!
Just
why am I not drinking?
Just a little rant. We went to California Extreme. We mentioned that already, but they had one of the seminars they had was done by Matt Ownby, who created the Daphne emulator, and he and another partner are working on a
Daphne is an emulator for old arcade LaserDisc games from the early 80s, such as Dragon's Lair, Space Ace, others.
They came out early 80s, but you still had some in like 92, 93, so it was probably about a 10-12 year span of time that these things existed. But the LaserDisc are shit, and nobody makes them anymore, and they're notorious, and they fail, and they're very difficult to get serviced.
Right, like even if you've taken good care,
they just fall apart, and they're very expensive and all this. So what he's doing is he is creating a little small hardware chip. I think he said he's going to sell it for about $500, but it goes in place that like you just take the whole LaserDisc out and you plug it in, and as far as the cabinet knows, it is a LaserDisc.
So this would be for people who own LaserDisc cabinets. But the players are shit, and they want to replace their old LaserDisc players with a completely
hardware based.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
that's kind of cool actually.
Yeah, and it's this little small chip. It was about the size, maybe two business cards side by side, something like that.
There. Okay,
and index card maybe.
Yeah, you plugged in the video output that went to the cabinet, and then you know there was like a USB port that you could plug up a flash stick or a laptop or something to that had the ROM on it. And it just, you know, as far as the cabinet knew, that was the LaserDisc, and it played, and they had it demoed with Dragon's Lair, and it worked without any problem. And it's supposed to be compatible with, you know, obviously several games and not just one thing at a time.
I can only wonder how many of our listeners are like, thank God!
You know,
I can play Dragon's Lair and then I have to replace my LaserDisc anymore.
For LaserDisc information, best damn podcast ever, finally came through with the goods.
Heard it here first, son. Heard it here first.
Actually, by the way, this convention, is this a yearly thing in California?
So it's out in Santa Clara, California. It's every year. It's usually around this time, July. You know, it's cheap. It's only, was it $30, $40 a day?
$40 for a day or $60.
It was $60 for both days. So, I mean, your cost is really just getting your butt out there.
That's the
expensive part. But, they had, what was it, 400 this year? Over 400 machines and pinballs?
Yeah, it was
just
ridiculous.
It was a whole, like, ballroom just filled.
That's why I've been jonesing so hard on these classic games the past few weeks, Justin Fig.
Blake took a lot of pictures, but my thing that I like most from there, and you can't really see this if you watch a YouTube video or anything, were those vector graphics that you're talking about, Justin Fig. Because they're super bright and intense, and they don't really look anything like a television monitor or a computer screen.
It's a whole different way of doing
it's
shit.
It's a whole different way of doing stuff, and that it's got a totally unique look, and you just have to see it in person to kind of understand it.
You can't emulate it.
You cannot.
Now, Bimba, going out to this, you know, arcade cabinet collecting expo, would you yourself ever consider collecting arcade cabinets?
They're kind of big and bulky, and you can play them on the computer for free.
You don't get you don't get the vector graphics. You don't get the precise controls.
I wouldn't mind having that. And they've got those little big cocktail ones you can sit at. Those are a little bit less room. I wouldn't mind maybe having one of those.
But you could make one of those just as easy.
No.
Integrity is just destroying me right now.
They're big and bulky, and it's just one game. Although I guess if you got like Neo Geo, you might could have the multiple chips. Or whatever, but them chips are big.
Get a computer, put a monitor and a table that's pointing up, and you got cocktail really style is, MAME.
I mean,
box.
How's your arcade thing coming, Justin Fig?
It's coming. I haven't really touched it in a couple weeks, actually. Yeah. I mean, I gotta get my ass back
just
on
like
it.
I was gonna ask you, are you designing like some new controls for your Jones, right?
I'm not designing them right now. I'm just sort of wiring them all up. I'm using an X arcade stick that the joysticks have been ripped out of, and I'm replacing them with the Ultimark Ulta stick, which is like an analog stick.
Nice. See, I really want to get a trackball. Like, I wish I got XRK before they made the trackball model, and now
okay.
I'm just...
Yeah, I got the trackball in mind.
You bitch!
Did they not have, like, a little side accessory trackball?
I guess you could, you could just buy, a regular trackball.
Yeah, go to Ultimark.com.
Yeah, that's true. Just get you one of them. Yeah.
They got all kinds of good shit. I love that website.
I think you have to have a big one. Like, you know, you could get one of those old mouse, but, like, the thing about these old, like, Millipede or Crystal Castles, the trackballs are really big. I mean, you only see the top 10% or maybe 30% of it.
Ultimark.com, dude. Ultimarc.com. They sell fucking just trackball things. Awesome. Just like the trackball and the little holder harness or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And it's just you can wire that shit up.
Cool.
After going to this site, I don't want to go anywhere else for my stuff. Like, they got all kinds of cool shit.
All right, now Ben Buck, you got one more Ben Bucks by the way for us.
All right, son.
Oh my God.
This is the William Miller moment here. That Skyrim's gonna be fucking hot.
Okay. Now, why didn't you do this one first? We were just talking about
not if William Miller's anything to say about it. In fact, he's probably still working. He's burning the midnight oil right now to make sure that Reckoning is
shit. Well, that's next year. We'll talk about the next year. Skyrim is this year. That's gonna be the one to get. I mean, come on. You did play Fallout.
Okay, all right.
You played New Vegas. I mean, they didn't really
do that.
We
will never get to... Well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It's a good show.
A little bit of a different show. Mixing it up.
It's a different flavor.
Yeah, mixing up the staleness.
It's like best damn podcast ever minus the dry martini of William Miller. Plus the Ben Buck moonshine.
If there's ever been an apt description of William Miller, William Dry Martini Miller. If you got any feedback for us, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9. I guess that's it, Ben Buck. Thanks for coming on. I guess at your current rate, you'll be on in another 4 years or so.
Probably so.
But thanks for coming on. We might get you on here.
Yeah, it was fun.
And from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
I'm Ben Buck.
And we'll see you next time.
I'm not used to being second in this lineup. I've been promoted. I was like, shit, I gotta say something. don't forget to thank the good people Blake Buck.
Right. Also, Craig Reed, edit your own thanks back in. We got to thank Craig Reed for editing these shows. Pseudo Sushi, who's been helping me on the website. He helped me today fix something. And TK for helping out on the site. And everybody involved, we'll talk to y'all later. I don't know. But I don't. Well, I guess.
We'll talk to y'all later.
We already did the outro.
End of show.
Okay, fine. Let's just. It won't end. And from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
Wednesday, July 20th, Ben Buck.
We are never doing this show again. It is over. Craig Reed just dragged them to the trash.
The plane is on fire and is on a crash course like to smash in the side of Rape Mountain.
And there's bones on it.
Oh, no, there's one bone at the top because you're on the quest.
Yeah, no. you can find our bodies in Bone Quest at the top of Rape Mountain in the plane wreck.
All right, well, that was a good show.
All right, I'm closing my recording.